About 55 days till till our elections today. The IEC will convene a gathering of political parties and independent candidates where they will symbolically sign a document saying that they will respect the rules of the Electoral Act, they will conduct elections in a peaceful manner, and also remain true to the constitution of South Africa. But what happens when political party candidates and political parties make outrageous statements on the campaign trail? And that's been quite clear over the last few weeks. You've had anti-migrant rhetoric from some political parties. You had rhetoric against the LGBTQI plus community in South Africa. Jacob Zuma saying on the campaign trail, if we win as a party, we would change the repressive laws which are anti-democratic, he says. If this law was brought before the people, do you think it would have passed? He's talking about laws that guarantee equality, regardless of gender or sexuality, in South Africa. Gayton McKenzie, as on the campaign trail, said what he will do to migrants, and he couches that under the banner of illegal or undocumented migrants to this country. There have been also utterances from the African Transformation Movement saying that as soon as they get into power, they will bring back the death penalty, even though our constitution guarantees the right to life. What happens if there are clear popular statements that are made on the campaign trail? Ben Winks is an independent advocate who specializes in media and constitutional writing in News 24. What are the repercussions for politicians who make absolutely outrageous statements on the campaign trail? Good morning, Ben. Really appreciate your time. Outrageous is, I guess, par for the course in South African political rhetoric, but how have you found the discourse, particularly from the parties that I've mentioned over the last few months of already being on the campaign trail ahead of an election on the 29th of May, Ben?
Hi, Lester. Thanks very much for having me. I mean, we've always had a history of very robust and even outrageous, as you say, rhetoric from politicians. And the code does draw some lines about freedom of speech. I mean, we have a quite wide latitude for political speech in South Africa, as in many other democracies. But there are lines drawn. So, for example, the Electoral Code of Conduct says you can't publish false information about other candidates or parties, and you can't plagiarize the symbols of other candidates and parties. So there are some limits on speech. And also, you can't discriminate. You know, there's a line drawn that you can't discriminate on the basis of race, sex, ethnicity, and religion. But then there are other marginalized groups where the electoral code doesn't offer protection, like people with disabilities, HIV/AIDS status. We've had, you know, rhetoric in the past about people, migrants in particular, and queer people, that you have transphobic and homophobic type of comments from politicians. And those identities are not actually protected under the Electoral Code of Conduct. So that's, I think, something that should be looked at.
Wouldn't that simply be covered by the constitutional right of equality under law, particularly on the question of gender and sexual preference? Wouldn't that simply just be covered under the constitutional provisions that everyone is equal to protection based on our rights of freedom under for gender equality and sexual preference? Ben, simply wouldn't our constitution cover those comments?
Yeah, well, it would mean, so the constitution doesn't prohibit people specifically from doing that. We have an Equality Act, Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act, which says that you can't advocate hate speech or discriminate on basis of sexual orientation, nationality, interestingly enough, and migrant status are not included in the Equality Act or in the Equality Clause in the Constitution. But the electoral code doesn't prohibit that kind of discrimination. So you can go to the Equality Court, but it doesn't stop people from campaigning. Mm. Now, they can be ordered to apologize or to pay damages to an affected group, but they can campaign with impunity. The IEC can't do anything about it.
Mm. So
the current law.
So does that mean that the Electoral Act is not in line with our constitution and laws that guarantee protection for all under our current legislation, Ben?
Yes, I think that is my view, that the Electoral Act is out of step with the constitution by singling out some group identities for protection, like race, religion, and sex, and ethnicity, and leaving out others who are marginalized and are targeted by populist rhetoric in elections.
When it comes to a very emotive issue of capital punishment, our constitution prohibits capital punishment. It will take more than a two-thirds majority simply to change that part of our legislation or our constitution in the National Assembly. But if you have political parties simply saying, without dealing with the intricacies of what it takes to influence our constitution, ATM simply saying, when we are elected as government, we will simply unilaterally change the constitution to allow for corporal punishment. That's not how our constitution operates. That's not how our legislature operates. Who is then there to keep political parties in check with making completely illegal and unconstitutional utterances, besides someone on radio shouting? But that's not how it works, Ben.
Mm. Well, you know, there's nothing to prevent a party from campaigning on a platform of amending the constitution to, for example, allow capital punishment. You know, constitutions can be amended, as you say, with supermajorities. And you can campaign on that basis. So, for example, there's a lot of campaigning to amend the property clause of the Constitution. There's nothing to prevent that. But where a line has to be drawn is, on the one hand, where you're publishing false information about other candidates, because that influences the freedom and fairness of the elections. And free and fair elections is something that even a constitutional amendment can't take away. So that would be profoundly anti-constitutional and anti-democratic to campaign on the basis that actually we're not going to have elections anymore. We're going to have a benevolent dictatorship or a monarchy. That would be something that would cross a line. That would be profoundly attacking the constitutional order as a whole. And then, as I say, you know, where you're actually targeting groups, which we've seen in Europe, sweeping across Europe, Islamophobic, anti-migrant, xenophobic rhetoric. We don't want to fall into that trap where it provides a breeding ground for discrimination to gain a foothold in Parliament, because now these campaign promises have been made, they have to deliver on it. And then you have people banning Muslim people from worshipping in the way that they do, and from wearing the garments that they do. You know, that sort of thing that we've seen overseas.
We've had Gaetan McKenzie on the campaign trail at one of the campaign launches, saying that if he was president and there was an undocumented foreigner or a migrant in a South African hospital and they were on life support, he'd go in and he'd pull the plug. He said it literally would turn off machines. There are various aspects of hate speech and discrimination simply in that particular comment, Ben.
Yes, I think he crosses a line. There are also other comments that, you know, they're going to physically remove undocumented children from schools, which is also illegal and violates the right to education and the right to equality. And then there are the less careful comments, where he doesn't qualify it by saying undocumented, where he says certain businesses should not be owned by foreigners, they should be owned by South Africans. Certain jobs should not be for foreigners, they should be for South Africans. There he's not actually talking about undocumented foreigners. He's saying, you know, quite explicitly in the Operation Dudula kind of sense, put South Africans first and foreigners – should not have equal participation in the economy. That then is where the mask slips and the undocumented qualification is omitted.
Ben Winks, really appreciate your time. Independent advocate, specializes in media and constitutional law. It's 21 minutes past.